right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blindside Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and there is Joe DiCapita has joined me in the studio. Oh, my goodness.
I know, it's amazing, right? What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome to another edition of the Blindside Blitz, and we are really excited because I'll tell you this right now. You know, draft season is right around the corner. It's next week because it's going to be the draft. It's the most confusing draft for me, but also the most exciting time of the year. And we have none other than very special guest of ours, former NFL scout, Roderick David. Roderick, welcome aboard, my friend. And we are so happy that you're going to join us on this, you know, tumultuous journey here with the first round.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always fun joining you. And tumultuous is a good word for it. It's going to be a fun round one of the draft this year, no question.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, Joe. I mean, it's going to be exciting. A lot of people, again, plan or they think they might know the first round, and then everybody does their mock drafts, and it blows up after the first couple. They're like, yeah, your first couple, you're probably sure. Right. But then after that, then goes the mess, and everybody's throwing them all over the place.
Exactly.
That's why they offer like $1 million if you get it all right, right? And it's like, because that's never going to happen. Even the experts don't get it right, Joe.
That's right. Everyone's going to get this wrong. So
yeah,
it's
definitely.
Fine. This is fun. This is fun. We're going to have some fun with it. We're going to go alternating picks, you know, between Roderick and I. I'm going to go start off the draft.
All right. So we're going to do, you guys are getting, explain the rules. You guys get 2 minutes.
All right, we get
I'm going to shut it down after that. You know, whatever. You have to pick in, you know, no matter what. 2 minutes,
right,
it's in.
Right.
All right. So don't be hemming and hawing around.
Yeah.
All right. Ready? So right now we're going to put the Tennessee Titans on the clock. Joe, start her off.
All right. I'm going to be honest. Like, coming into this draft, I was thinking quarterback the whole way, and consensus is like everybody's pushing Cam Ward, and, you know, I get it. You know, he does have a potential. He has a high ceiling, and you'd like for him to reach it. If he does, great, but there's no guarantee with these quarterbacks. Every single quarterback in this draft, there's like no solid set, you know, guy that's going to be like, okay, plug and play player, not much to work on, and we're going to be good to go. So for Tennessee, man, I really battled with this pick, and I'm not going to go quarterback like everybody else. I am actually going to go with my best player in the draft. I'm going to go with Abdul Carter from Penn State. I'm going to go with the pass rusher.
Wow, you're going to go crazy. You're going to blow it up.
Because honestly, I got to say, going into this like long process of like doing the best I can at scouting, Roderick's the pro, not me. I'm the amateur. I'm still trying to, like, figure things out. But I got to say, like, there's so much to like with Abdul Carter, and he's so gifted, and I think this has to be the pick because picking that high, you don't want to miss. You don't, because it's a risk. By taking any quarterback, it's a risk here. Cam Ward is no exception. Abdul Carter's got to be the answer. And then you look into the second round. Maybe Tennessee, if they want to, they can trade back into the bottom of the first round and get that fifth-year option on a quarterback that they might like, or just stay at second and maybe a guy that they like just falls to them. So I'm going to go with Abdul Carter.
That's an outstanding pick, best player at a, you know, the most important position on defense. So, yeah, that would have been my pick at number one, too. So we're one for one on,
you know, the same pick. There you go. There. Absolutely. Difference. Again, blowing it up already. Hey.
Yeah. Went against the grain in
terms of consensus. Why not? Because, again, whatever, you know, everybody else mocks are doing right now, you know it's draft time. Like I said, it's not going to be right. They're going to all get blown up now. So
Tennessee fans right now are probably mad and saying, well, we need a cornerback still.
Yeah, they're like, no, but they'll still be excited no matter what. Yeah. So there you go. Roderick, Cleveland Browns are on the clock. Let's hear it. Joe, what do you think so far? Now, Abdul Carter's off the board already right now. So a lot of people expecting that Abdul Carter right now would be going. Mm-hmm. So Cleveland Browns, they know the turmoil that's going on with them and, you know, the quarterback situation even too. You know, Deshaun Watson says he's going to come back better than ever. Yeah, whatever. You know, still getting paid and not even playing. Kenny Pickett's there now, but still a little turmoil there. So, Roderick, what are you thinking here, buddy? What do you got?
I took the first 30 seconds of my clock. You know, I don't think it's fair, but I'm going to make it in the clock, so I'm good. No, it's all good. Again, Abdul Carter going one, I think cleans up the board a lot for Cleveland. A player that I don't love in the first round, but I think Cam Ward becomes the pick right here. I don't think Cleveland is the right fit for a Shedeur Sanders. as much as, again, they're 1-2. But, again, I think the Cleveland atmosphere is not where Shadur wants to be. I'm sure that's probably been made known privately, maybe publicly some as well. Cam has the talent. Cam, again, if you want to start talking some comps and what Cleveland wanted when they traded for Deshaun Watson and what Cam Ward can be and could be, he probably is going to need to start fairly soon, even if not maybe the first week. I would expect him to be the week one starter, but Cam Ward's the pick here. Again, he's thirsty. He's moved up. He is, I think, going to be able to deal with what Cleveland's going to throw at him in terms of both on and off the field, and is the best quarterback prospect in this class overall by a thin margin, but I think Cam Ward goes to Cleveland at 2.
Nice. I like it. There you go. Nice. I like it so far, Joe. I mean, it's interesting. Pretty crazy. So now it's right there for the Giants. The first quarterback is off. There you go. Abdul Carter's off. So the New York Giants, Joe, don't do me dirty, bro. Don't do me dirty. Come on, man. What we got?
Well, since it's your team, I'm just going to reach for a kicker right here. But the Giants, they can go in many different ways. I mean, the way their roster is, like, they just can literally add the best player in their minds with this pick at 3, and you can't be mad at it. Like, they could use so many different positions, and they are one of these teams that are still trying to find their way, still trying to build up that roster. I think at this point with Cam Ward going to Cleveland, I think that might have been the target for the Giants if he did fall to 3. But now that quarterback is gone, no, I don't think Shadur is going to be the answer for the Giants. They went out and they signed Russell Wilson. They also signed Jameis Winston. It seems like they solidified that position at least for this year. Now, I think they're preparing themselves for this type of moment where you have one of the second best player, in my opinion, in this draft available to you at 3. You can't go wrong with this guy, and the pick is going to be Travis Hunter for me.
Nice.
A guy who is very gifted, has the ability to play both sides, although I'm not 100% sure if he's going to be able to do it at the next level. I mean, we've talked about it before, Jim, about so much goes into honing your craft, knowing the playbook like the back of your hand, all the nuances that comes with it, and I think he could be an excellent player, whether he hones in on one side, but I don't know what NFL teams are viewing him as in terms of, like, is it possible to learn both playbooks and be able to be that type of full-time guy? I think it's too difficult, but we'll see. With 3 going to the Giants, this kind of fulfills a need, I think, instantly right away at wide receiver for them. And you team him up with Malik Nabers. I get it. They brought back, Darius, and they got Wandell Robinson there, but this dude is just an elite talent. He's going to really help out Russell Wilson or Jameis or whoever ends up starting. I love this guy, and I just don't know how NFL teams. Roderick, you might have a little bit more insight on there for Travis. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think it's the right pick. Again, what he is on the field is a perfect fit for the New York stage. Like, that matters at pick number 3. I think it matters to the ownership. Again, I think that's part of this late workout for Shadur. If he's on the board, again, I think either of those CU guys, when you start talking both ways, he's going to play both ways at some point. I think a huge challenge, again, the front office and coaching staff already has a huge task this year to maintain their jobs. They're going to add to it by formulating a plan week to week to get him in both rooms, to get him on both sides of the ball in practice. And that alone is going to be a huge, huge undertaking. I think this has to be the pick. I think if Travis is sitting there at 3, the Giants have to take him. I just don't think he can pass up the talent. It's going to be a challenge, and it's really going to put that entire group to the test, the organization to the test. And it's a good organization, traditionally good organization, and I think they can answer the call, and I think it's going to work out for them. And I hope for everybody involved, fans and team alike, it works out for you guys.
Excellent. Yes. Excellent. Yes, I would be very excited if that is the case here. One thing they possibly could not screw up, you know, but we'll see. There's always these guys. So, all right, here we go. The New England Patriots now on the clock here. Patriots, we did a lot of stuff in the offseason. Roderick, what do you think now they're going to do here in the draft?
Man, if I'm the Patriots coming into this thing, I am hoping and praying that Abdul Carter falls to me at four. Obviously, he's off the board at one. I mean, perfect scenario. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he falls to four. Abdul Carter's gone. Travis Hunter's then your kind of player two, I think, that you want. Again, you're expecting him to be gone in that top three. For me, I am not a Will Campbell guy because that O-line as a whole needs work. If I'm drafting Will Campbell, his left guard better be a really good player because, again, you can then, again, have some focus on that left tackle spot as he continues to grow and solidifies himself. I don't think the Patriots are there yet, so I don't think you take Will Campbell yet. Mason Graham, it's a little high for me. I really, really like Mason Graham, but I'm going with – my second-year quarterback on an offense where I can now get a playmaker. And for me, it comes down to who do I want, Tyler Warren, Colston Loveland, or for me, Tetrarrell McMillan. And it becomes a really, really hard choice for me because, again, Tyler Warren, again, you take the Penn State tag off of him. It's a Josh McDaniels offense. Harkening back to a certain Aaron Hernandez, Rob Gronkowski combination. Yes, I used Aaron's name. Again, talented player, used all over. We've seen that with Tyler Warren. Tyler ends up being the pick for me. I love Tetrarrell McMillan. I think he could absolutely be the guy there as well, a big target for Drake May in that offense. But again, you take the highest graded player you have on your board. For me, between when you're splitting the two, it ends up being Tyler Warren in the pick for me right as the clock expires.
I used all but, every last little bit.
Hey,
but I love the breakdowns, Joe.
Yeah,
and there it is. Yeah, the New England Patriots looking to improve.
This is the reason why we bring Roderick on, because the guy knows his stuff. The guy's been there, done that, and he gives some great insight than otherwise the consensus gives us.
Oh, absolutely. And again, for a guy like me, like again, this kind of goes in and out, kind of listening to what the other talking heads are saying, stuff like that. I hear what Joe has to say too. So it's cool to see what happens when Roderick says what he's going to say.
Right.
And then what it says to Joe and see if they mesh or not too. So I think it's very interesting there. So there you go. Patriots are off right now. So that means the Jacksonville Jaguars are now on the clock. Joe.
This is interesting. Jags,
we got this.
I don't know. And I'll tell you, like after picking for the Jaguars, after picking Trayvon Walker in the first round, after picking Josh Hines Allen in the first round, after picking Devin Lloyd in the first round, it's like they've done a lot of work on the defensive side of the ball, and there's been heavily scrutinized, Trevor Lawrence, and it's like they keep more attention to that defense. It's like, when are they going to look at the offense here? And I understand that, Mason Graham was the consensus pick here for a while. And it makes sense because he is a gifted player. I think he's a blue chip type of player. He's going to be an excellent player at the next level. And I could very easily see the Jaguars saying, you know what? Let's just do it. Let's add Mason Graham to this D-line and make it really fierce. But I'm going to go a different way. I'm going to help out my boy Trevor because he needs help, in more ways than one. And they've done a decent job at adding offensive line help, in the interior to kind of help bolster that line. The wide receivers, a little bit lacking. Gabe Davis just didn't, project enough, didn't play well enough for them, wasn't much of a playmaker. And I think I'm going to go with the big bad Tetero McMillan with this pick. I'm going to team him up with Brian Thomas Jr., having the Twin Tower brothers here in Jacksonville, and help Trevor out with this offense. Give him another weapon to at least bounce back and forth with.
Nice. I like it, Joe. Again, it's something different. They no matter what regime was in there, it seemed like they always go defense too. And like you said, they need a real weapon. They've tried to get some of these other guys. They overpaid, Christian Kirk, and he didn't even play that often either as well on top of it. And Yeah, what a better way to help, you know, a guy like Trevor Lawrence to kind of bounce back here. But another wide receiver there, just like that. Like you said, you got the two-pair tandem. And I like how you guys both also tease a guy, and then you're like, but I'm going this way. So I absolutely love that, too, as well.
All right, outstanding pick. Outstanding pick. Again, that's been my thinking here. Again, I think the James Gladstone is the GM, Liam Cohen. I think it all makes sense. It's an offensive league. Get your quarterback weapons. And, you know, Trevor Lawrence, again, he's been a good quarterback. They want to see great. They need great. And that's how you do it, is you'll get him a big-time weapon.
Now, Roderick, I want to ask you this one question, too, because I've seen this a couple times in mocks where they go offensive, but they don't go McMillan. They actually went with Ashton Jeanty. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, again, I love Jeanty. Again, I stumped for him for the Heisman. But again, with this running back class and with that premier wide receiver still being there, Travis Hunter's off the board. True wide receiver one is still on the board here at pick number five, which doesn't happen a lot of times. So I think you get wide receiver one on your board, take Travis Hunter off. Whatever position he is, wide receiver one's on your board.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nice. All right, Joe. This is interesting because I didn't even think about this when we went to do this, but now your Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah.
Roderick gets to do the pick, and not you, so you get to see what this is
going
to be like
here. I'm actually glad Roderick is doing this. I don't want this pick. I don't want to do this pick.
All right, here we go. The Vegas Raiders are on the clock.
This is a fun one because, again, the Raiders have some holes to fill. I know we spent some time talking about that last time. They've got their Geno Smith in there. They've got a bunch of holes. Ashton Jeanty, I think, would be a fine pick here. I think you could go with one of these defensive players, Mason Graham. You could go big, get, again, which O-lineman is your favorite guy, is your top guy? I think that's where they ultimately go. I think this is where the Will Campbell slide ends. They bring him in. They give him a start at left tackle. They put him there. It's his job. But again, where he ends up, he is going to be a good football player. I also think the fit for Raider Nation is going to be one that they like, and that Will Campbell, because he's been beat up on so much, you can see he's got a little bit of that, hey, yeah, I'm going to hit you back now, and I don't care if the league throws a penalty on me. Again, I'm a Raider. What are you going to do about it? I like that for Will Campbell. I like the fit here. It's going to be one where Raider Nation maybe is a little bit upset on draft night. You're getting a good football player. You're getting a starter for the next 10 or 15 years. This is a Jake Matthews-type pick that has played for forever in Atlanta. And so I'm going to take Will Campbell here, and I'm going to make my O-line better from the time we pull that card.
Nice.
Boom. Will Campbell right there for you. Joe, you excited about that? What do you got here?
Well, I'll tell you this right now. Like, I agree with what Roderick was saying, because also with the new GM, John Spytek, I know that he came from Tampa Bay and that his mindset is to rebuild the trenches. So this makes perfect sense. It aligns right with what Spytek likes to do. Like, he learned under at Tampa Bay, and that's what they did. They rebuilt those trenches first before they started adding weaponry and running backs and receivers and all that thing. So I think it makes sense. It makes perfect sense, and I could definitely see this because I've even heard the same sentiment, rumors, but like – heard the same sentiment, like, don't be surprised if maybe the Raiders take Will Campbell if he's there.
There you go. All right, so next up, that means you got the New York Jets here, Joe. Lucky you. What can you turn this thing around for them? Can you make their wildest dreams come true in the Jets? You got 2 minutes. Let's go.
Well, the Jets, here's the funny thing, is like, I really thought about this pick, and I'm like, man, if Tyler Warren happens to fall here, it's the pick. Like, Tyler Warren has to be the pick for the Jets because they need it. The best player available mentality fits correctly. It would be crazy if he got here, but that was going to be my pick, but, you know, Roderick was smart enough to go ahead and take him and and screw me over for the Jets. So, like, so now I'm
That's the funny thing now, though.
Here's the but this happens all the time. This happens all the time.
Plan B, what do I do?
Yep, so, plan B, so what do I do? So now, like, I'm looking at the Jets and everything, yes, they still need tight end. There is another tight end in this class that I could envision him going in the first round, but I just don't think it's – I think it's way too high for him. I think Tyler Warren is kind of like that exception that you would take him really high. That kind of makes me think where I'm going to end up switching lanes here. I'm gonna end up going not so much defense. Like, I know a lot of people were kind of like thinking that maybe the Jets, if this in fact happened, where one of these defensive playmakers were there. But I think they got to lock up that offensive line. It's been a daunting issue for the Jets, and it seems to keep continuing. So I'm going to go with the best right tackle in this draft. I'm going to go with Armon Membu here to solidify that right tackle spot for the Jets and help Justin keep him upright.
All right, Roderick, what do you think about that pick, Weir?
Man, I think that's a great pick because I'm sitting right behind you with the Carolina Panthers, and that was going to be my guy, which, again, that is the way the draft goes all the time, right? Again, like you said, when you're a struggling team, again, I'm thinking about a defensive guy here too. Mason Graham wouldn't surprise me at all.
Right.
Again, you think of what Aiden Hutchinson did for Aaron Glenn in that defense in Detroit. Mason Graham, again, school up north guy, trench mentality, change the culture type. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Mason Graham would have been my pick if I'm the Jets in your spot right there. But again, you can't go wrong building in the trenches, and I would fully expect the Jets falls this way, and those two are the guys. Again, you may have, again, for some teams, O-line one or D-line one on your board now come off.
All right, here we go. That brings us up to the Carolina Panthers here, and now they are on the clock, 2 minutes.
Man, this is, again, because Armon was going to be my guy, I've got to start looking through the list. I'm looking down, hoping that phone is going to get called perhaps. Again, Dan Morgan, GM, you've got another year for Dave Canales. I'm going to go and get my guy now a weapon that I can move around and be a little bit versatile. I'm going to go with a different Michigan player in Colston Loveland, a guy that is going to be quarterback friendly for my young quarterback. He answers a need. He's a little bit exciting. He's got more upside, obviously, in that Michigan offense. J.J. McCarthy never threw, you know, the ball much, and they didn't play with the quarterback more or less this last year. So you are still going to see a lot more from Colston Loveland. So I am going to go to the well, get an offensive player for my for my young quarterback, and take Colston Loveland of Michigan.
Nice. There you go, Joe. How about that? Way to just solidify, like you said, the offense, help out the team here with a team that's been struggling. But it seems like now since Bryce Young had gotten benched and now he kind of, you know, had a reflection. Right. You know what I mean? That's what he's dealing with, kind of Anthony Richardson as well. And then kind of put back into the game and kind of a resurgence. Seeing something now where it was looking borderline bust. So like you're like, oh, man, this guy's not really it at all. Seems like he does have something. You can keep him upright and just get this guy some weapons too on top of this. You know what I mean? Because when I looked at this team with the Panthers too, I was thinking maybe if there's a weapon here or so or not, maybe trying to help them out that way. Because again, what your bright spot was Adam Thielen, and at this point, he's not a wide receiver one. So I mean, come on. So all right, Joe, what do you think?
Well, for the New Orleans Saints, it's interesting because we got the quarterback controversy. Is Derek Carr even going to play this season? He may require surgery, thus making him obsolete for this year. And I've heard things about Mickey Loomis. And when Mickey Loomis has laser sight on what he wants, he goes and gets it. I don't know if at nine he's convinced or will go quarterback right away. Maybe he trades back into the first round or whatever. But, man, at this point, it's kind of like I'm having an issue with Shedeur Sanders right here. And I know kind of people have brought his name up and say, well, you know, this might actually happen where he slides to nine. The Saints have their option to at least take him. Mm-hmm. And can he start right away? That's the thing. I don't envision Shador as a guy who is a plug and play quarterback, especially this year. I think he needs to still learn. I think he still needs to develop. So I don't think that the answer is in the first round for them at quarterback anyway. Maybe Mickey Loomis gets aggressive. Maybe he trades back into the first round if there's a guy that he really likes. Maybe Tyler Shook later on. You know, maybe Jackson Dart. His name's been floated around, you know, a few times. I'm getting mixed signals on the quarterback that is Jackson Dart. Is he going to be pushed up higher? Is he going to still remain somewhere in the bottom of the first round? So with all that being said, I think I'm going to give the Saints and stop the bleeding with Mason Graham going to the Saints here.
Boom. Mason Graham, there you go, to the Saints. Roderick, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. It's the right pick. You've got so many holes to fill. You've got so many needs. Your cap situation, you're not in a NFC South that looks winnable. You're still an arm's length away. And again, you get hot, you find the right quarterback, you get rolling. Again, Kellen Moore, I think, is going to do some good things. I think he's going to have fun on offense, but you've got to build a football team. And again, when you've got, again, interior D-line one, a player like Mason Graham is going to be a culture guy. I think that's the right pick. I think it's a great pick. And, yeah, that would have been my pick right there as you're talking about it. And I thought you were still going to end up going Shador. It is a conversation. That one's going to go down to the wire. I think there is going to be some really lively conversations if Shador is sitting there and they're sitting at 9 and he's still on the board. I think it's going to be down to the waning moments of that clock to make that pick. But again, the right pick is Mason Graham, in my opinion here. And I think it's you did good.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Because I'm not going to lie. I was struggling a little bit because I'm like, man, what do I pick here?
What do you do?
But it makes sense.
You're reading
because
his reactions as you're saying Shador and stuff. I know that's what you're doing now. That's what's funny. It's like, while we do this too, it's almost like you're getting draft grades as you do it, Joe.
I'm trying not to disappoint Roderick. I feel a lot of stress right now. I don't want to let him down. So,
but you know, you're not selecting yet, though, so I got to turn it up a little bit.
Nice. You're already making him stealing a couple of his guys, so I think it's working out.
One other question that I want to add for Roderick is the fact that with the Saints at 9, and obviously the quarterback conversation will be had and what player falls to them, do you see the Saints possibly trading back and gathering picks and taking a quarterback a little bit later in the first round?
Yeah, again, the quarterback one is, again, if I'm the Saints, I'm just going to stock picks. Absolutely. I do see a trade back scenario. And I think with some of the players that we're sitting here talking about being on the board still, again, there's going to be good players. And again, some of those guys with the way, when only one quarterback goes, that means other players that you've targeted at 10 to 15 or have slid up a little bit. Again, that's always the way it goes. I would not be surprised at all if they bump back to the mid teens. And again, quarterback is a giant wild card, right? There's not a plug and play starter in this class. There's some guys that could do it that are probably short term stop gaps. But again, you're not going to use a, you know, probably top pick on that. So I think wouldn't surprise me if the Saints go through this draft without drafting a quarterback, just build out the roster, just with the way they are from a team and roster and cap standpoint. Wouldn't surprise me.
Gotcha.
Wow, there you go. Yeah, because I thought of this too, and I'm looking at Shador Sanders falls here too. I was thinking, I'm like, I don't know, maybe they do get him because Derek Carr, again, you're probably good for this year, and then they don't know, set him up again for next year. But who knows, Joe? Like, you never know. And right there, Roderick says it's a great idea. I'm going to roll with Roderick. I'm like, there you go.
Course.
So what the hell do I know? So
the problem with trading down is that phone's got to call you, or you're going to be making a bad deal, right? And that's where again, you like the fact that a couple of these guys are still on the board with Chicago sitting there at 10, because I think, again, my pick's going to be a fairly obvious one and kind of perfect scenario for Chicago. But again, you're really hoping one of these teams 16, 17, maybe 12 or 13 is making the call to you, because that's when you win the point value trade.
All right, there you go. So that means Chicago, here it is, coming up here on 2 minutes here on the clock.
A dream 1 through 9 for Chicago. And if it felt like this, Chicago Nation is going to be going crazy.
Yeah.
It is the obvious pick, Ashton Jeanty, the best running back. Again, my Heisman Trophy pick. Again, a guy that is going to be really fun in that offense with Ben Johnson. Again, a guy that everything I've heard, everything I've read, everything I've seen about Ashton Jeanty is going to be a good presence for that quarterback and all that he brings to the table. Not that he's going to rein it in, but again, a guy that you trust back there that's going to do everything for Ben Johnson's offense, a guy that is going to carry the rock, pass game, run game. Ashton Jeanty is my pick here. And again, Chicago Nation is celebrating. The other three teams in the NFC North are a little disappointed he falls.
Yeah. We got to deal with this now.
And,
really?
Yeah, and that's the funny thing is, too, is like when you start making these picks and a guy that some of these other guys, again, on their monster calling way up here or this and this. I know we talked about Jeanty to the Raiders and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But now it falls to this team to where this is a dream scenario. Like he said,
right.
Now this helps this offense even more. We looked at the offense last year. And now, you know, what they could be now with Ben Johnson
right.
And now Jeanty on top of this with the run game. It's solid and it could be scary and it's exciting.
Absolutely. And that. Roderick, I just got to say, I love the pick. It's a great pick. It's excellent. Makes a lot of sense, like you were saying. Like, this is kind of like that dream scenario for Chicago. If this was to happen, they're flipping tables in the war room. That's all I got to say. But that's the fun part of the draft. Like, you know, there's this, you know, tug of war battle, pick to pick. You know, who's going to slide to me? And then they have these heated debates and conversations about who to take, and and that's what's going to transpire. So even with our picks that we've got up to this point, it's still like, okay, it sounds like this is easy
but this
is not easy in the war room. You can attest to it, right, Rod?
Yeah, it can't be overstated. When you've got a, you know, three and a half hour first round, the intensity and the tension in that draft room, no matter until your pick is off the board, the intensity and tension it's just kind of hard to describe, hard to compare. For three, it goes by in a flash. You don't want to be drafting high, but also you appreciate it because, again, it's only maybe 50 minutes, 45 minutes of that tension. Mm-hmm. And then, again, you pick at 10, and all of a sudden you're thinking, all right, are we going to trade back up in here? What are we looking at? And, again, it flies by. It is intense. It is it's hard to I can't think of another experience outside of the draft room that I would even compare it to.
Yeah, you probably can't. That's why.
Exactly, Joe. All right, so next, the San Francisco 49ers here. There they go. Still Brock Purdy dealing with his contract. What's going to go on with him? I know they did like a send-off to a bunch of people, lots of different players.
Yep.
Brandon Ayuk again on the cusp with things. Debo's gone. So what's going to go down with the San Francisco 49ers here?
So for the 49ers picking at 11, this is kind of the spot where – I had this player like lined up for them at 11, and it's interesting to see how the picks have fell so far. Honestly, like you mentioned, there were some players that departed. They went to other teams. Dre Greenlaw being a key piece, you know, and then also Charvarius Ward, one of their starting corner, the guy that was a solid piece for them. And then you have Robert Saleh who's returning, which has got to be exciting for Niner fans, a guy who's going to come back, been there, done that. He's going to get this defense back up and running. I think that with him arriving, he's going to want to refill that cornerback spot. And I think that's going to be, as long as the medicals check out and everything, I think that's going to be for Will Johnson from Michigan. He fits the scheme that Robert Saleh likes to run. He even reminds me a lot of Charvarius Ward, a guy very instinctive, works well between the sidelines, and physical guy, great tackler, read and react. So I think this is a really good pick for the Niners, and Roderick's probably going to tell me something else.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're on the right side of the ball.
Okay.
But, there's three players that I probably would have taken in front of Will Johnson just because, okay. One, I think they're better players, either inside linebacker, Mykel Williams, Jalen Walker. Okay. Sorry, Jalen Walker, the other
Walker, player, gotcha.
Or Jihad Campbell. I really like both. I personally like Jihad Campbell a little bit more. Or Mike Green is sitting there. And again, San Francisco, their plan is to score points.
Yeah.
Kyle's
makes sense.
MO is we're going to outscore you, and then we're going to have fast pass rushers. And again, you fill the need. Again, you talked great Dre Greenlaw. You talked Devondre Campbell meltdown last year with that unfortunate situation. I think you could get a starting linebacker with either of those guys or go again with that premium position on the edge. Again, I like Will Johnson. I think he's a good player.
Right.
Going to prioritize again, probably that edge or one of those two inside linebackers. I just have a little higher grades on those. I'm going to take my higher drafted player. You're on the right side of the ball anyway, though.
Yeah. I was at least on the right side, which is a 50-50 shot.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But anyway, but what I'll say, what
at least I found that moment where like, oh,
I have a question about Jalen Walker. Now that you brought his name up, I feel like at least from the outsider's perspective looking in, it's kind of like a split room on him, how you envision using him at the next level. Can he be an every down linebacker? Is he just a pass rusher? Roderick, what do you envision for Jalen Walker? Can he be that kind of every down guy, is always going to be out there as a linebacker, or is he kind of tunnel visioned into just being that premier pass rusher for you?
No, he's going to be an every down guy. Again, okay. I think he is a move around. He's a really fun piece. You've got a really, really good defensive mind in Robert Saleh returning, and you've got some veteran pieces on that defense, which is going to allow you to do some things with Jalen Walker if he ends up being your guy. Again, I think you ease him in slowly, but I think by week six, week seven, you are seeing this guy playing, 75-80% of the snaps, definitely passing downs, maybe get him out of there on some rundown stuff. But again, wouldn't surprise me when it becomes a green dot, 100% snap guy playing early on in his career. He's a good player.
And also for Walker, how early do you think he could go?
Yeah, I really think he could, again, if I'm the Saints, I could think about him going there at 9. Again, if you're staying there, going defense, I think the Panthers or the Jets are probably the ceiling for him. Again, could be a guy that I could think either of those. Again, you've got a DM that was a linebacker in Carolina, and then you've got a defensive-minded head coach in New York. So you've got a couple spots there that, again, if they – for Jalen – for me, it comes down to how much do they like the person of Jalen as well. If he is a culture changer, if he is a defensive captain, if he's going to be a bring along everybody else type of guy that is going to be the guy in the room early on, then I can take him at 6 and 7. If not, if he's going to be more of a follower early on, again, we're going to pass on him and take one of those other guys we talked about. But again, I think probably 7 is probably his ceiling for me with those teams. Need some defense to fill the holes.
All right. That's good insight because I didn't know. Like, I knew about Jalen Walker. I've watched him. I think he's a tremendous talent. He's a freak. I mean, this guy does everything really well. I just wasn't 100% sure on how others might view him that have that knowledge like you have, Roderick.
All right. There you go. All right, so now that means we've got the Dallas Cowboys here. I hope this time you don't pick a really good pick for these guys because I hate the Cowboys. So, but I know you're going to do what you do, though, so I'll just sit here and cry. So.
Yeah, the Dallas Cowboys.
Or Sanders.
It's not going to be that. We'll just get that out there right again. I'm not going to tease if you're Deer Sanders at all. Man, this is an interesting one because, again, the Cowboys, when you want to talk teams that are potential trade-down candidates for me, with the way this first round has gone, again, the Cowboys could be sitting there thinking about moving this pick as well. Again, I know everybody, this was the perfect Ashton Jante situation okay. for a long time. Again, I think Dallas Nation would love mm-hmm. that. But with the way this O-line has changed over, you think about the Dallas teams, that O-line has always been the calling card. Again, Tyron Smith just announcing his mm-hmm. retirement obviously wasn't there the last couple of years. But again, you've got your Zach Martins. That O-line has changed over. I'm going on the O-line here. And for me, it comes down to one or two guys. Am I taking Josh Simmons of Ohio State if I feel really good about the medical? Yes. That is, right. again, a lot of people are questioning him in the first round. The other guy is mm-hmm. right there in Texas in Kelvin Banks Jr. And for me, it becomes a really tough competition. And just because I don't have the medical, I can assume that Josh Simmons is healthy and is ever going to be okay. He's going to be my pick here over Kelvin Banks because, again, I think he's a little bit better athlete, little higher upside, younger player that's still getting better. Josh Simmons is my pick for the Cowboys here, getting that O-line right again for Dak Prescott and that offense and building it out in the trenches as the traditionally good Cowboys teams have done. And it's tough to pass on Kelvin Banks, but that's what I think of Josh Simmons here.
Yeah, that's what I was even thinking too, possibly. Just at least, mm-hmm. I don't know about the pick, but I mean, offensive line, you saw it with the injuries that they've had time after time. You figured that's what they got to do to help, you know, Dak Prescott too, especially as of late, he's just been injured a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And now they don't even have that real backup quarterback at this point too. So God forbid what happens with him this year. So Joe, right. what do you think?
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. It's a great pick. I love Josh Simmons. And if it wasn't for his injury-riddled, you know, surgeries and all of that nature, like for him coming back and there's some questions like, is he 100% healthy? Is he not? If it wasn't for the injuries and any kind of concern there, this guy is the top, not only the top tackle, he's a top offensive lineman. He would have been picked in the top five. And it's only because of those. So if the injury history checks out or if the team doctor is like, hey, quiet, keep this very quiet. This guy is going to be legit. He's going to be fine. So if he happens to get here, we're taking him, and we got the steal of the draft. So it makes a lot of sense.
All right, here we go. Miami Dolphins, Joe. You are now on the clock. You got 2 minutes.
The Miami Dolphins here, they could go a lot of different ways, too. And it's funny because we're talking about the Dolphins and they got all these issues now, you know, Tyreek Hill, you know, does he want to get out of there? Does Miami even want to trade him? But this is kind of this for this organization, they can go anywhere in the trenches. Like they just need help. We've seen them get, they used like a scout team for defensive ends at one point because they just kept getting injured. Jalen Phillips injured season after season. You can never have enough pass rushers. And I could see them going that direction with this pick. I can also see them kind of rebuilding the trenches on the offensive side, help, you know, further help protect Tua. We know that, you know, he's got like a bobblehead and he just bounces off the turf and it easily gets concussions. That's definitely still going to continue to be a concern for them. So I think Roderick kind of mentioned his name earlier, and I think that's who I'm going to go with here for the Miami Dolphins. I'm going to go offensive tackle Kelvin Banks, and this is a guy that I think can play both guard and tackle at the next level. So even if they're comfortable with their tackles now, they can have him fill in at guard and lock up that position for them. But the main focus for me for the Dolphins is at some, you know, at least in the first round anyway, and maybe as they get into the second and third rounds, it's going to be focused on trenches and either further protecting the quarterback or getting after the quarterback. There's one other player that I don't know if it would have been a reach, but I like Gray Zabel a lot for them, too, in the interior. Could play center, could play guard, can literally play anywhere. So that was also another thought that I had.
All right, Roderick, what do you think? Miami Dolphins, yeah. Offensive. Yep.
Yeah, right. No, I think it's a good pick. Again, that was, again, if I'm sitting there if I'm the Dolphins, I probably prefer Kelvin Banks over to Josh Simmons schematically, size-wise, what he does for that offense. I think if Kelvin Banks falls him to there, I think that's got to be the pick. It's a good pick. He's a good player. Again, protect the asset, protect your quarterback. Again, they've the Gray Zabel one, I'm sure we'll talk about him at some point. Again, he's not the plug and play ready to go. Again, you mentioned multiple spots. Kelvin Banks is going to line up at tackle and play. And there's no question in mind he's going to upgrade that offensive line if he's the pick there.
All right, next we've got the Indianapolis Colts. Roderick, you are on the clock for 2 minutes. The Colts, what direction are we going in here for these guys?
Yeah, this is a tough one for me because, again, this is one where I go back and Chris Ballard is a traditional, like he would be the guy that would take Josh Simmons because he knows what the future is going to be. He's going to be a guy that wouldn't surprise me when he takes a Mike Green type. He takes those long picture upside guys going in the draft room a couple years ago. Deo Odangbo from Vanderbilt popped his Achilles in the pre-draft process, was my guy. And me and the Atlanta Falcons, we were ready to pick him until the Colts took him like three picks before us. And Chris Ballard shoved a knife right through my heart. Odangbo so much. But again, that's traditionally what Ballard has done is, again, who is that highest upside player? And I'm going to turn around and be like, well, there's also a guy that's plug and play ready for his quarterback here. And that's who I'm going to take is Matthew Golden from Texas. You want Anthony Richardson can throw the ball and make every throw. He can also throw it about 60 yards down the field. So let's go get a 4.29 burner in Matthew Golden that's polished. That the more that has been said about him, the more positive that has come out on him. Again, the guy that's now challenging arguably for that wide receiver one spot, upgrade your offense, give your quarterback some more confidence. Again, the reset, like we talked about with Bryce Young, the reset for Anthony Richardson seemed to work, seemed to be good for him. Get him in that building, get him in that offense. Matthew Golden from Texas is my pick for the Colts here.
Yeah, guy with top speed, the fastest dude in the class at wide receiver, and very quick. I mean,
I think they're definitely lacking, I think, at this point. So, I mean, I like
Listen, like Roderick was saying, they're just going to continue to build, get more weapons for Anthony, continue his development and growth, and you know, hopefully this year he takes another step for them. In terms of a passer and him utilizing his legs as well. We all know that he's dangerous like that. But, again, Matthew Golden, super great talent. And if this is the pick, this is great for Indy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that means you've got the Atlanta Falcons, Joe. You got 2 minutes. You are now on the clock for the Falcons. I mean, it's great. It's a great pick. But now, what do you got?
I'll tell you. Down. I know. For Atlanta – here's the thing.
Let's go quarterback again. Why not?
Let's go Shedeur Sanders. It makes all the sense in the world. They got Michael Penix Jr. Why not continue to add to that position group? No. But I'll say for Atlanta, like, this is kind of like a scenario that they could go either – they can go in that secondary, further bolster that secondary. They can go – edge, which has been eluding them for years, it seems like. It's every time they take
it. I can attest to that. It's been eluding them for years.
it's kind of been there. When they take a guy like, you know, Tack McKinley comes to mind, like when they took him and they were hoping that he could develop and grow and become that elite pass rusher for them. It's not for lack of trying for Atlanta. They've definitely have focused on that. I think this is the year where they could probably get it right. If this guy is available, I think this has to be the pick, and that's going to be Mike Green from Marshall. I think he's a guy who is explosive. He's stronger than he looks. Like, he's got the size and everything, but, man, I watched him at the Senior Bowl, and he was literally blowing offensive linemen up to get to the quarterback. So, Mike Green, I'm excited about this player. I think he has the juice. I think he has the skill set. He's got the moves. If Atlanta has a chance, they're running the card in and getting Mike Green.
All right, Roderick, former Atlanta Falcons scout. Here you go. How'd the Falcons do on this pick?
Yeah, I think it's the right pick. Again, this is one. I think it comes down to three players that they can honestly talk about at this, and it's Mykel Williams, it's Shamar Stewart, and it's Mike Green. I think you can expect one of them to be there at pick 15, realistically. So, again, you're doing all your work trying to decide which is the guy here, which is often how that first round goes, especially when you kind of get a cluster of players at one position. And it's like, hey, one of these threes here, let's stack them. Let's find out who we like best. Maybe that changes a little bit as you see the picks come off the board. But, again, Mike Green is my highest graded guy out of these three. I think it becomes interesting because Athens, Georgia is about 45 minutes from downtown Atlanta. So they're – I know there's going to be people high, even up above the GM who would love to have a dog come in here. So that's going to be a tough conversation. When you talk about Shamar Stewart and the freak athleticism, yes, lack of production. Same thing for Mykel Williams. It becomes such a tough conversation for those guys because you start getting those outside voices from ownership, from whoever else is trying to be in the ear of somebody. Mike Green is the right pick, in my opinion. I think he's going to be a good one. He finally answers that question for, again, all my guys that are still there in Atlanta and, again, maybe finally gets them a consistent pass rusher for more than just a year.
Nice. Excellent. There you go. All right, next we've got the Arizona Cardinals. This could be interesting here, too, for the for the Cardinals because where do you want to go on this one? I mean, there's a few different options.
Yeah, again, this becomes a spot where, again, the Cardinals could go a bunch of different directions. Again, knowing who the head coach is, knowing what the GM likes to do, again, it probably comes down to me if I'm the Cardinals. I may be talking about those same three players that the Atlanta Falcons were just talking about. And, again, knowing that they're going to take one of them, if all three are there, hey, hopefully I like another one. Again, I'm going to take Shamar Stewart here over Mykel Williams. I think he's a little bit better fit for John Gannon's defense. He can rush a little bit wider, a little bit more speed. Can do a few more things. Again, I have probably been a lower guy on Mykel Williams for a while now. Again, not a guy that I love as a premier number one rusher for. Yes, I love him on my team. If he's my number two, I'm real happy with it. But again, I could go get a potential one in Shamar Stewart, who's got some big time upside on the edge. And again, if this is where you get a defensive minded head coach who's been with some of the defenses and some of the defensive ends he's been with, he gets excited. That's where the head coach is really going to have some say in this thing that, yes, I'm going to put it on me as the head coach to get this guy from, you know, just tools to some serious production.
Nice. All right, Joe, Arizona Cardinals defense, you know, defense too. That's what they definitely have to do here.
Yeah.
I think we see a defensive run in there.
And like Roderick said, like the concern is production. Like, why didn't you blow up in your last year of college? Like what we see the physical traits, you're a freak. You're out on the football field. You have the capability to just dismantle offenses and get after quarterbacks. But where was that burst? Where was the production? And, you know, so, some people were saying, like, you know, at a Texas A&M that he was asked to do different things on the defense, basically taking up bodies or, you know, diverting, not in terms of pass rush, but diverting, you know, offensive linemen away to where the linebackers could come in and blitz freely. So maybe, just maybe, it was, you know, schemed, you know, differently for Shamar, but, you know, we'll see if this is the pick for Arizona and he ends up kind of just taking off at the next level, then we know that that was it.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so next we've got the Cincinnati Bengals. You know they shelled out a bunch of money for the offensive side now, Joe, so now you think – you got to think that guy goes start in the defense here in the draft here.
You know, no, right? They got to just keep adding to the offense because that's really where it's all at. You know, so it's a passing league. Let's just add another receiver. Why not? But for the Bengals, like, and we've talked about this before. You know, through the season, you know, the defense lacking, the defense broke down. Interior D line is an issue. Secondary pretty much any level can be upgraded. Mm-hmm. And it's good for them because in this scenario, they can do that. You know, they could go with a guy that I really like in Kenneth Grant from Michigan, the big D tackle for them. It's kind of like a little bit of a space eater, but, man, this guy is so super athletic too, super strong, can do everything for you, has limited pass rush. But, man, I think that at the next level with better coaching and everything, that could even enhance him even greater. This guy you could plug in the middle, not have to worry about them running up the middle on you, not have to worry about creating space. That's one guy that I'm kind of looking at. Another guy that I like is, you know, Jahdae Barron, corner from Texas, a guy who's very versatile too, a guy who could come into Cincinnati, play slot, play outside, play even safety for you, wherever the Bengals do envision him. I really do like Malachi Starks, the safety from Georgia, who I think could come in and be that captain in the back end for them. So I think with all that being said, I think I'm going to make my pick here, and I'm going to go with Malachi Starks, safety from Georgia. I think this guy is, from all accounts from people outside of the NFL, don't see this guy that high, but I think he has unbelievable talent. He's a guy that can do everything well, super solid, can cover, can come down and play the run, great tackler, very smart, high football IQ. So give me Malachi here.
All right. Roderick, you got any? What do you think about that one?
Yeah, right side of the ball. Again, I'm probably moving down one level. Again, I think there's, you know, you're talking division. Again, what do we got to do to win the division? It's winning the trenches. So I'm probably moving down, probably taking a linebacker, D lineman here. You mentioned Kenneth Grant being there. I think that's when Jihad Campbell, again, that other interior linebacker would be guys. But again, I don't think you're far off. And again, Starks is a really good player that you're going to ask to do a number of things in that division. So it's a good pick.
All right. Next up, we've got the Seattle Seahawks, and they're now on the clock. What do we do here?
Yeah, this becomes a fun one because, again, all of a sudden you've got a fairly new head coach who's got some college experience with some of these guys. Again, some of these Michigan guys. Again, all of a sudden Kenneth Grant is a guy he knows well. Coach McDonald knows well.
Right.
He is a guy that he probably likes. I don't like him here, though. I don't like him going this high. Again, I like Kenneth Grant not taking him here, though. Again, in Seattle, I want a guy in that defense that is going to play all over the field, sideline to sideline. I'm going to take Jihad Campbell here. Again, I think he is. Again, for me, it was a really, really tough split not taking him earlier on in the draft and taking our other linebacker instead. But again, Jihad Campbell is going to do a lot of things for Coach's defense that is going to make them better, play better. Jihad Campbell is my pick here.
Darn it.
It happens, though, Joe. You had your opportunity. So.
Yeah. No, this
and
is
that's
for,
the way it goes, though.
This is for Tampa, though.
Yeah.
I thought that if Jahad Campbell got to Tampa somehow, that it was a slam dunk pick for them, and they would have been another team just losing their minds. But I get it. You know, guy is phenomenal. And the thing about Jahad Campbell is, yeah, he's the best, you know, linebacker, or at least the best middle linebacker coming out. But he's such a great person. Like he checks all the boxes. When I watch him move around, it's like he's got a linebacker body, but he doesn't move like that. He moves so much faster, and he's flying sideline to sideline. Phenomenal tackler, can read and just react. I think it's a great pick. I mean, this is if Jahad Campbell is there for Seattle, Roderick. I think that they're ecstatic at this point.
All right, here we go. You're on the clock, Joe. What do you got? Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, I'm going to have a long conversation with my GM and everything, and we're going to take this right down to the wire because Jahad was our guy. We really wanted him. He was right there right before Seattle, you know, so we're going to kind of make a note that when we play Seattle, we're going extra hard at them. There's no shortage of great players in this draft, so we're going to pivot. No longer will we be looking at linebacker at this point. We're going to be looking to kind of, we know that we've lost some talent at the edge we're going to be looking now at that position, and we're going to be looking at none other than Mykael Williams from Georgia. Because for Mykael, I feel like the reason why he's going a little bit lower in this first round is because of injury. Some people have question marks about, like, well, did he play injured all season? Is that for the dip in production this year? Everybody expected this guy to kind of blow up, you know, in his final year at Georgia, and we just didn't see that. So because of the low production, is it injury, you know, related? Maybe. But if the team doctors come to me and say he's got a clean bill of health, you know, Jahad Campbell's not here for us, that we're still happy because we're going to get our edge player in Mykael Williams. We're going to continue to develop that side of the ball. And yeah, and we're still pretty happy about this.
Roderick, what do you think?
Yeah, again, it was tough for Mykael because he was, again, the prettiest player in college football perhaps this year. Again, he is a first off the bus type. And yeah, he legitimate ankle injury. Again, it was easy to see it on film. And again, did he ever get back from that? Again, you want to go back to 2023 tape. Again, yeah. The trade still looked about the same for me. Again, I don't think this is a run past you guy. He's going to have to win with moves. I think it's a good pick here. Again, Tampa just continues to reload on that D-line. They're, again, the favorites to win the division, again, just because the way it kind of shakes out for everybody else. So go get another player who, again, could go top 10. Again, there's going to be teams right around that number 10 that are going to be talking about him. So you're getting him at 20, at 19 here. You're happy. You're upgrading that group. He doesn't have to be the dude, the number one. You've got Kansi, and you've got Jotrion Smith, and you've got some other guys on that D-line that are going to be the guys for him while he continues to grow, get healthy. So I think it's a good pick. Again, not a player that I love like some other people, but still a good football player.
All right, next down, that brings up the Denver Broncos here on the clock. Again, last year, they go get Bo Nix late, you know, and there you go. He has a pretty good year, you know. I wasn't so super high on him. I'm still not exactly sold either, but, you know, they surprised me to an extent, again, because I wasn't sure what we were going to get out of him, because we've heard the Denver Broncos are going to be, oh, they're going to be great, they're going to be great, and then they don't. And so far, you know, their head coach hasn't really showed what he used to do here in the Saints, but now last year they kind of turned it on. What do they do here now for them? Do they go offensive side of the ball? Do they go, you know, even more defense? What do we got?
Yeah, so the head coach is going to make this pick. This is going to be his guy. This is going to be a guy that he sees in his offense that he can do a lot of fun things with, and I think also fits what Bo Nix does best as well. I was with you last year. Did I think Bo Nix went earlier than I expected and earlier than I thought he should? Yeah, absolutely. He is with the right head coach for him. Go get Luther Burden out of Missouri to play in that offense, to move all over, to be, again, not Taysom Hill, but do some Taysom Hill things. He's not Deebo Samuel, but do some Deebo Samuel things. And then line up and go ahead and go be the wide receiver that, you know he can still be. I think the head coach, Sean Payton, is going to have a ton of fun in this offense doing stuff with Luther Burden. I think if you're the Broncos, you're ecstatic if he falls to you at number 20, and Luther Burden's my pick.
There you go.
I love the pick.
Yeah, and, you know, he did kind of say something like this, too. Sean Payton, when he was interviewed, he was, I'm going to get that type of a player, like Taysom Hill, that's got all, like, my Swiss Army knife that I can do things with. So who knows? Yeah, maybe that's it. That's the key here.
Yeah, I mean, Luther Burden, I feel like, is kind of being overshadowed, because when people were looking at it, you know, his tape, and they were like, well, it wasn't as explosive. It wasn't as good as 2023, and, you know, where was that guy? Like, we saw him ascending, and if he had anything close to 2023, he would have been a much higher pick, and everybody would have viewed him differently. But because of that production dipping in his final year, and I really do feel like after watching some of the clips of him playing, that it was more about the offense. The offense was, like, very limited. The quarterback was limited, so that kind of led to less explosive plays for Luther. A lot of throws behind the line of scrimmage for him, so I think this is an excellent pick for the Denver Broncos. It sucks because now my Raiders got to deal with this guy. But But we'll take it, you know, whatever.
All right, so there you go, Joe. So that brings you up to now the old silver, or not silver and black, the black and gold here.
Black and gold.
Yeah, I get my different
color.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to think of Wiz Khalifa, black and yellow. That's what I got to get on right there. So there you go. The Pittsburgh Steelers, people were talking to Shador Sanders right here now. So, Joe, it's there.
It's right there for the picking.
They're still
waiting
around for Aaron Rodgers to show up.
Yeah. To this day, we don't have Aaron Rodgers signed. Not really sure if this is going to happen or not at this point. And you know, Pittsburgh's being very patient, and they're just waiting because I feel like they know that, like, it's either them or nobody.
Or nothing.
Because even Rodgers has expressed interest with the Saints now, because that could be a vacancy that he could visit. But Pittsburgh's still patiently waiting, still haven't signed him, and I think that as you get closer to the draft, if Rodgers doesn't decide and to go to Pittsburgh and sign that deal, I don't think this takes it out of the realm of possibility still, but at 21, if Shador slides to them and nobody happens to trade above them, because there's that conversation too, teams that didn't get a quarterback in the top of the first round could trade back in just ahead of Pittsburgh to take Shador if they really like him that much. Mm-hmm. So I think in this scenario here, though, we're not doing trades. So Shador slides to him. I think this would be the pick if he happens to slide to Pittsburgh. And now they at least have a future and hopefully a veteran to show him the ropes.
There you go. Shador Sanders goes here. Roderick, what do you think about that? You think this is the right spot, or what do you think?
Man, this is Shador. It's tough. Shador Sanders is not a Pittsburgh Steeler in terms of the way he comes across, the way he carries himself. But if there is maybe one head coach that I'd be like, yeah, he's going to get Shador right, it's Mike Tomlin. And I can promise you Deion Sanders Sr. has the respect for Mike Tomlin and what he's done in the NFL. That, again, if there's any question about antics, Mike is going to be calling Deion directly to kind of keep everything at bay. I think as highly of Mike Tomlin as I do about any coach in the NFL. If Shador's the pick, I don't think it will be. I don't think they would go him here. Again, you hearken back to the Kenny Pickett situation, and you don't want that parallel, I don't think, if you're the Steelers. Again, I'm probably going a different direction here. Again, a nickel, like Jahdae Barron, possibly go with, you know, Derek Harmon on the defensive line. Maybe you go with another edge rusher, James Pierce type. So I don't love the pick. I understand the reasoning. Again, wouldn't surprise me. And again, I trust, again, that's a really good front office. And again, as stable as organization as there is in the NFL, they'll make it work at least for a while, whatever pick they make.
All right, there you go. So who knows? Again, Pittsburgh, if it's Shador, I mean, people are saying that they need that quarterback. It's there. If you don't hear from Aaron Rodgers, I mean, they did eliminate his helmet now too, so he can't wear that same helmet. So he might just cry and be like, I'm definitely not coming back, you know, with how picky it is. So.
Yeah, right.
But all right, here we go. Next, we got the Los Angeles Chargers on the clock here. Here we go. What we got? What we got, Roderick? What are we going to do? What's Harbaugh going to do? He's going to go run game again? What we got?
he likes to run the ball a little bit, doesn't he? He likes to get big. He likes to win in the trenches. And running back one coming into the year, that only because Ashton Janti absolutely, you know, curb stomped every team he saw, basically. Omarion Hampton is still on the board and answers a huge need in that offense. Again, I have to sit there and think about a guy like Emeka Egbuga as well for my quarterback. Again, a consistent pass catcher that's going to do everything right. Again, you talk about, you know, Coach Harbaugh probably helped recruit Kenneth Grant. And so, again, you'd love to bring that back in. But I just don't think with the way they want to run the ball and the way that Harbaugh wants to win, if Omarion Hampton's on the board here, I'm going to pull that card. I'm going to pick him. Maybe they see where the rest of the backs are and I trade back a little bit if the phone rings. But, again, I'm taking the pick. I'm taking Omarion Hampton right here for the Chargers.
Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world. And that was interesting, too, is like in the offseason, J.K. Dobbins and what he did for the Chargers, and I kind of expected him to be re-signed, you know, get slight raise, but nothing crazy, bring him back because he did stay healthy for them, was a integral part of that running attack, and at least bring him back. That doesn't kind of necessarily, even if they did re-sign him, it doesn't necessarily take out this idea, and I think that makes a lot of sense because then you could have two good backs back there. Marion Hampton makes a lot of sense for them, and just like Roderick was saying, you know, Jim Harbaugh, that's what he wants to do is run the ball. I know a lot of people are going to be like, you got to take receiver here because you guys don't have much in that position. But Jim Harbaugh, it stems from even back in college. Jim Harbaugh does not value wide receivers. That's why you never saw him heavily recruit wide receivers, because he loved the rushing attack, loved to ground and pound, you know, defenses. So makes a lot of sense. Marion Hampton, I definitely expect him to as well to be picked in the first round. So this pick was a good one for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of funny too when you say Hampton. I was kind of thinking like if I want to see what you guys did with the Pittsburgh Steelers, because I've seen the Steelers do this before where they in the first round they went and got Najee Harris. What we were talking about during that draft were like, they got to go offensive line because they really need that. They go with the running back situation. Now Harris isn't there. I was thinking maybe Hampton, if he's this far here, maybe they do that, like fill that need right there with the running back instantly now that Harris is gone. But falls to the Chargers, hey, lucky them too on top of it. So, and then with your scenario, the Steelers get their quarterback possibly. So we got William Bell, Del Pilar. We were going to take any comments, but what the hell, we'll do it here for William. Why not? He's a special guy, Joe. We'll put him on there. Why not? Here we go. He says, Mike Tomlin has failed to develop any quarterback ever as a head coach. He inherited Ben Roethlisberger and would not be dealing with Shedeur Sanders, but his father. How does he overcome that track record? It's a good fit for him considering his style of play, but seeing him succeed having to deal with Deion seems like an eventual conflict.
I think Mike Tomlin will put him in his place.
I think to an extent, too. And I think like what Roger's trying to talk about, too, I think there's even a mutual respect there with Tomlin and Deion Sanders.
Right.
And we've seen how many times diva wide receivers have gone through there with Pittsburgh. You kind of see a little bit, but not so much. When they go out of there, it's a mess. So you can only imagine what they kept tight in the house.
Yeah. I'm not going to hold it against Mike Tomlin that he inherited Ben Roethlisberger and won a bunch of games with him. And again, you talk about a guy who had his off-field musings and kept everything right in that locker room. Again, Ben was as much a part of that. Again, it's the Kenny Pickett one. Yeah, that's tough. I think about some of the backup quarterbacks that he did win some games with. Again, they had some Josh Dobbs in there for a little bit. He had, Mason Rudolph, who again, has started games other places and developed. Again, that's not as much about Mike Tomlin. I would say I was with, the now OC Arthur Smith in Atlanta, and he's going to keep it pretty simple for his quarterbacks. And so from a development standpoint, Shedeur is not going to have a hard time, in my opinion, getting in there and doing the things he needs to do if he was the guy there. Again, I don't think he would be the guy there, as I said. But again, I think Arthur Smith, that falls on him. Mike Tomlin has to control the personality. The development of the quarterback is on the offensive coordinator. The development of the person is on the organization, which again, I think Pittsburgh does as well as anybody, again, to your point. So, again, a lot of pieces there. And Mike, again, he's the one that stirs the pot when it needs to be stirred and turns it up and turns it down. And he's done it really successful for a long time now.
Absolutely. Joe, there you go. That brings us down to the Green Bay Packers. We're on the back nine, Joe. we're on the tenth hole, it looks like. All right, so here we go. Green Bay Packers, you're now on the clock. What are you going to do here, Joe? You going to help out that defense a little bit here, too, since they've lost some players, too, on top of it? Or
they have
another weapon?
There's a few ways that Green Bay can go in this scenario. They could go wide receiver, adding more talent to that receiver room because – you know, guys seem to be getting injured every year on that side of the ball. And they definitely want to have more consistency, you know, at the wide receiver position. But then they also could go defense. And there's some rumors now going around about Jaire Alexander maybe on the trade block, might be moved. And if that's the case, they're going to save some money by making the move. But also they're going to create a void. And if that is to happen, they could look corner very easily with this pick. And they also could utilize maybe even a little bit more help on terms of edge and rushing. I know that they've invested a lot of picks in the front seven of that defense. So, I mean, I think that they might pivot a little bit. And if in fact they do trade Jair, that creates that void. And in this scenario, a guy that kind of slips to them and Jedi Barron, I think fills it very nicely. A guy who can move around if they want to move him around, can play safety, slot, outside. So I think Jedi Barron to me is going to be this pick from Texas.
All right, Roderick, what do you think about that one for the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, it's a good pick. Again, the Jair Alexander situation's a little bit funky. I think they'll get that one sorted out. Okay. I'm looking at a guy on the edge that was with the defensive coordinator just a couple of years ago. Again, bring in a guy opposite of Rayshon Gary, Donovan Isarukwu from Boston College. Again, yep. You talk the familiarity. You talk a guy that's going to come in there. Again, there's two ways to stop all the passing that's going to happen in your Division I cover, or you know, just go get the guy off the spot. And again, that would have been, again, those are the two guys I'd be looking at if I'm Green Bay there. So again, I don't think you can go wrong with either of them. Jahdae Barron, big time playmaker. Again, if they do want to move Jair, again, you certainly make that pick. And again, you're filling that need right away.
Yeah, and that's something that I kind of struggled with as I was looking at players, and I'm just like, man, would they go Donovan? Would they go corner?
Hey, but you never know, Joe. How many times we're like, what?
But, yeah, but it definitely influenced me with this pick is because with that noise that's happening with Jair, like we know that, you know, sometimes, you know, he says some things, you know, and the locker room kind of reacts to it. And so just wasn't 100% sure with that relationship, you know, how solid it was and everything. But if they do work it out, that's great. That definitely changes this pick. But if not, then, you know, maybe they go Jahdae.
There you go. All right. So that brings up now the Minnesota Vikings. Roderick, you are on the clock. 2 minutes.
Yeah, this is a tough one. Obviously, a good team that disappointed everybody when it mattered at the end of the year, all those Vikings fans, and again, in a division where, again, you've got to get better, across the board. Quarterback, obviously, who's going to be the quarterback, this next year in terms of stepping up? Again, what kind of quarterback player are you going to get? Man, I almost think about going running back here and just making that a dominant room because there are still some really good players on the board. But I'm actually going to go on the defensive side of the ball, and I'm going to get a guy that would have been taken had he had a full year, and I'm going to go corner Siobhan Revelle from East Carolina. Ooh. Guy coming off the knee that fits the Flores system in terms of I'm going to man you up, I'm going to lock you up, I'm a little bit longer, a little bit lighter. Again, you think about some of the corners that Brian Flores has been able to win with, and again, has gotten some good play because of that pass rush that disappeared in their playoff loss. You still got to have some corners. I think they are in a spot where they can play it slow with Siobhan Revelle a little bit, but still get a player who's going to ultimately get drafted probably a little bit lower than he should have. So Siobhan Revelle, East Carolina, is my pick.
All right, Joe, you said, ooh, like what do you think? You like it?
I really love that pick. This was a guy that kind of was under the radar for a while until some teams started doing some digging and discovered him. And guy has an amazing story. For all the odds that he's overcome, losses in family, you know, being injured seriously, coming back from it, jumping to different schools because he just didn't have the best grades. And for him to get to this point in his story, it would be, you know, just amazing moment, you know, when he gets drafted. And I hope it is the first round. I definitely could see it being that. And he is super talented. When, you know, if he's 100% healthy and ready to go, this guy still has a little bit more development to go, but man, you're getting yourself a great person. You're getting yourself a very talented player, and I love this pick. It's awesome. One of my favorite guys.
All right. There we go. So that brings you up to now the Houston Texans, Joe. You are now on the clock. We know, again, there's no more Stephon Diggs. We know, you know, there's issues here at wide receiver. Do they do that? Do they go for another weapon here for C.J. Stroud? It seemed like last year a little bit when lacking some of those guys struggled. You know, couldn't get that offense going. Right. I know in the playoffs the referees helped a little bit with that one here against the Chiefs, but. But still, what do you think? What do you think now for the Texans here? They're going on the offensive side of the ball?
You know, for the Texans, you know, they did a lot of work, especially in free agency, adding more talent to this roster and shoring up some spots. But still, you know, you bring up wide receiver and Tank Dell injured, still trying to fight back from that injury. This is a guy who is, you know, he's on the slender side of things in terms of an NFL wide receiver, has been injured the last couple of seasons. You know, is that going to continue? Is that a concern for Houston going forward? Because you need your guys out on the football field. Best ability is availability. And for that reason, you have a good team in its entirety, a solid roster from head to toe. Why not go out and get yourself another stellar wide receiver to pair up with this Texans offense? And that's going to be Emeka Ibuka from Ohio State, because this guy you can move him around like a chess piece. He's played every wide receiver position in college and just put him wherever you want to and let him rock out. So I think he's kind of – some people are a little torn on him, I feel like, at least from an outsider's perspective, like it sounds like, you know, a lot of people envision him as just a slot. I think he can play outside too. I think he has that ability. He runs phenomenal routes, solid hands, and I just think he's a good player. So I think he easily goes to Houston here.
All right, wide receiver, Broderick, what do you think here?
Yeah, again, it's not the pick I make. Again, I think Emeka Ibuka is a first round player. The traits never jump off the tape. But again, you look up and he's 120 and two touchdowns. Like, he is a consistently good player, catches the ball, knows how to get open. I think his quarterback and former teammate would be ecstatic to have him. You know, if he's in the draft room, he's going to be walking up there and pull that card. He won't be. Just, you know, quarterbacks, players aren't in draft rooms for anybody out there. But again, I think CJ would love it. I'm probably going O-line here. Again, a guy like Ariante Ursary, who's got first-round talent. You've got Booker that's got first-round talent, guys that are going to be – should be plug-and-play starters. They had, you know, made a number of changes on the O-line, obviously trading Laremy. But, again, it's not a bad pick here. Again, you're just making a strength even stronger, and got a new OC coming in, so going to get a new piece to work with.
There you go. Yeah, and I forgot even about that. Again, Laremy Tunsil traded. I mean, dude, that, how about that? You know, offensive line, too.
Yeah,
they could use that. All right, next we've got the Los Angeles Rams here. They could go anywhere, too, I think. I mean, what do you do here? You don't have Cooper Kupp anymore, but you get, you know, Devontae Adams. So, I mean, what are the Rams going to do? Because they're one of those teams that even surprised me a lot of times, too. Once they went all in for that Super Bowl, they won the Super Bowl. I thought with all the trades or the picks they gave away, they were going to have some dark ages. No, not really. You know, I mean, they just kind of revamped and made another push. And then made another push and kept going. So what do you think here now on the clock, the Los Angeles Rams, what do you think, what direction they should go in?
Yeah, really surprised everybody last year. And again, they reset as well as anybody. Les Snead is aggressive. They go get the players they want. Sean McVay, among the top two or three head coaches in the NFL, the way he operates everything. Again, a team that could go just about anywhere. Not a team, interestingly enough, that ever really invest in the O-line. That was a spot I thought about, but again, they kind of stay away from that. And again, it's a credit to Sean McVay. He has won with a lot of guys from an outside team perspective you don't love, but again, finds a way to win with them. They hit on the D-line last year. They absolutely nailed the draft. Won Neil Stratton's Inside the League Best Draft Award last year, which again, credit to every scout there. If I'm Sean McVay, it is time where, again, you've got Stafford for maybe another year or two. So, again, it's time to go for it and find a player that's going to come make you better. I'm going to add a really explosive, fun tight end in Mason Taylor from LSU that is going to be a fun piece in that offense and kind of gives them a little bit of a dynamic that they didn't have this last year from that tight end spot. And again, is going to be a really fun one to work in with that group.
Nice. Tight end. Yeah.
Mason Taylor. I like that pick too. Mason Taylor, you know, it's funny because I was watching him at the combine and like, I just noticed how smooth he was for a guy at his size. He's kind of like that very, like a receiving type tight end, but he's very fluid, smooth, quick out of his breaks and just has very soft hands. Like it seems like the ball just kind of just falls into them. Doesn't drop hardly at all. His drop rate was really, really low. So I love the pick. I think it's going to be that is a fun player to have on that Rams team, teaming him up with Puka Nacua, and it'll be fun to watch all that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing with that team. That's what I mean. So they just keep adding pieces like that. Just like it's great to watch.
Yeah.
So, all right, next we've got another team that's really good in the draft, too. They really don't let you down ever. You know, the Baltimore Ravens, they're another team that just seems to keep reloading every single year
and
know how to do it in the draft. So, Joe, you've got the head on, the GM cap. So what do you think here now? Are you gonna do them right again here for the draft?
Well, I think for the Ravens, they're a team that, you know, it's interesting because, like, they could go wide receiver if there's a wide receiver here that they really do like and they want to just kind of add it to the arsenal for Lamar Jackson and whatnot. But as I was looking at the roster, I started to think, like, you know, maybe they might dip back into this defensive side of the ball. I don't think it's going to be a corner. Obviously, they've already invested in that spot. But it could be linebacker. It could be a guy like maybe Demetrius Knight from South Carolina, a guy who's very quick, fast, flies sideline to sideline for them, and kind of put him into that linebacking role. Might not start right away, but, man, it would just be kind of one of those things where, like, you know, they just refill that position group and they don't miss a beat when it comes time for turnover. But I had a different look, and I think they might be looking at more edge rushers to come in here to further do some damage against offenses. I'm looking at a guy like Landon Jackson from Arkansas, a guy who kind of fits the body type that they like, a guy who you can utilize, very versatile type of guy that can play D-tackle, go to edge. You can move him around, and I think it's like one of these picks that for Baltimore – fits them to a T, and they would be ecstatic to add him to the arsenal that on their defense.
Roderick, what do you think? Defense, edge rusher, what do you got?
Yeah, I like the edge rusher pick. I'm going with a different one, but it actually works out for me in my next pick, so I'm not going to argue it. Again, Landon Jackson, high motor, again, another one of those guys who, for me, the traits didn't quite jump off the field, but his motor, the way he plays was just so relentless, and he just got after it. Again, he's a great fit for that defense. He's going to be, again, if he's an 8 to 10 sack guy, but he's going to be a 60% snap time that makes your defense better. He's a guy you want on your team. So if you take him here in the 20s, you're real happy. And again, he's going to make that room better.
All right, next going up to the Detroit Lions and talk about edge rushers. A lot of people were talking about trades to try and get another guy with, you know, Aiden Hutchinson, things like that, too. They need another guy, you know. What are they going to do here? You're talking about it, too, you know, so you're interested. So what do we got here? Who's going to be your pick?
Yeah, so there is a player that for a long time this year, I thought he was going to be my edge one. And super talented. His good plays are right there with Abdul Carter. You're a good play. Now, Abdul Carter did it for 40, 50, 60 snaps a game and fits all the character tees. James Pierce Jr. has that kind of talent, but that was always the conversation with him, character, medical fit. And James Pierce Jr. is going to become the Dan Campbell project. That I think Dan Campbell takes James Pierce Jr., puts him opposite of Aiden Hutchinson. That culture that you see with the Lions is real, and James Pierce will figure it out real quick, or they will move on real quick, and has the upside to, again, be the best 1-2 tandem in the NFL when Aiden gets healthy and James Pierce is rushing opposite. that makes that D-line room really good. I think Dan Campbell is going to make it his personal project and maybe have to add another tall coffee with extra shots in it to make sure he gets it done. But I think James Pierce is going to end up in Detroit.
Yeah, there you go. And, nice. And you know, you talk about Mike Tomlin. He gets fired up. He's emotional. He brings religion into a lot of it, too. Dan Campbell, same type of guy, though, too, and he's put a lot of motion behind it. And that really gets players to really get behind you, too, and they get crushed through a wall. You've heard it the way they talk about him and the way he talks. You see it. He's emotional in just interviews, you know, when he's talking about the team and how much he cares. So if he could reel in a guy like that, too, I could totally buy that as well. You know what I mean? Hey, I've been there. You know, this we could be part of the team, be a brotherhood. Let's do this. And he could get it right. I can see that guy watching on, definitely, Joe. What do you think?
I love it. I mean, James Pierce Jr., I just wasn't sure where he was going to go. I didn't even know if he might go in the first round or not. I get what Roderick's saying, like his elite traits. Like, it's amazing on how he moves. He bends. He's got good moves. It's like one of these things where, like, he's just not a finished product. You know, can they get him to be where he needs to be at the next level? It's possible. But, man, I just – It's one of these guys that he's like a freak athlete, but can you get him to be the all-around player that you need him to be? So for Detroit, if this works out for them, now you got Aiden Hutchinson on one side, you got James Pierce Jr. on the other side, and good luck offenses. The tackles are going to hate this one.
All right, so that brings up the Washington Commanders. We only have a few more picks here left. Again, it's getting towards the end of round one, Joe. Here we go. We got these guys going
tougher.
Through. It's getting tougher. Yep. But again, looking for fits. Washington Commanders, one of those teams where it looked good, but you weren't sure what you're going to get. Jaden Daniels, we all liked them here, and they kind of got further than everybody expected. Like, we expected something, but not this. And what they did was, you know, outright just stupendous. So with the picks that they have, too, and money, and what they even did in the offseason, there's a lot to do here for Washington. So what's scary is how far they got last year to what they have here, what they can do this next coming season. So, Joe, the Washington Commanders, on the clock, 2 minutes. Where are you going to go with this one?
Yeah, and that's the part. Where am I going to go with this one? Because there's a lot of different ways that you can go with Washington, because you think about, like, their defense last year on how that was a little lacking, so they definitely could kind of, like, dive into, you know, edge, the front, the linebackers. You can upgrade any one of those positions for them, even on the back end. You can also think about, like, you know, with Jaden Daniels, you know, build, like, maybe add an offensive lineman, maybe add another weapon for him. You know, Terry McLaurin is there. You know, they got Dyami Brown, but, like, really, if McLaurin is your guy, and then you, like, after it, it's like, he's Dyami Brown. He's all right. He's just okay. I think they could look into they could definitely look into this receiver. Like, now that you're picking at 29 in the first round, like, you have a lot of options here. So what I'm going to end up doing is I'm actually going to go wide receiver. I still think that because of the class and how deep it is on defense, especially in the front, D tackles, you know, D ends, there's a lot of talent to be had. So in the second round is what I'm kind of projecting, is that they can still kind of get a really good player in the second round. I'm going to take one of these wide receivers. And this may be seen as a reach by some people, but I absolutely love this guy, and I think this guy could be something super special. A guy who was seen more as a slot guy from Iowa State. Not Jaden Higgins, not the outside wide receiver, but his counterpart in Jalen Knoll. I think this guy has elite traits as a wide receiver, and I think he's going to surprise some people at the next level. Get him in there, have him work with Terry McLaurin and Jaden Daniels, and you got yourself an explosive playmaker.
Oh, man, Washington, you go, you know, Cliff Kingsbury offense, you're going to go another weapon. You've got Deebo Samuels there now, too, right? So, I mean, you've got him, and you've got, you know, Terry McLaurin, you go another wide receiver, all offense. What do you think, Roderick? What do you think on this one?
Yeah, again, this is one of those ones with the both capital in draft picks and money that they can spend. Again, upgraded the O-line. That was the group that really overachieved for me last year in Washington that really helped them get over the top. Again, you've got a guy in Tyler Booker who is still there on the board. Again, that I would not be at all surprised. There's also some really good interior D linemen. And again, you lose Jonathan Allen, a guy that's been there, seems like forever. Yeah. You could, if you like a Walter Nolan, if you like a Kenneth Grant, you could go with either one of those guys as well. I would have gone trenches here. But again, the argument is spot on. Outside of Terry, again, it was a lot of guys, and you need some dudes there, and perhaps perhaps Iowa State is going to be the right spot to go there. Either of those Iowa State guys would be a good pick here. Again, could you get one of them? Could you get a similar level player? Again, that's where the draft board is really going to sort it out.
Right.
And at this point, more often than not, somebody is sticking out a little bit on the draft board that has fallen for whatever reason. And if that's a guy you like, you take him. But again, I can definitely understand the wide receiver pick here.
All right, next up, that brings the Buffalo Bills. Talk about wide receivers. Maybe they get another wide receiver on top of this one, too, for these guys, because you saw Josh Allen. They did all right for the regular season, but again, seeing playoff time, he was kind of looking for that guy. Had to try and hit up, you know, Dalton Kincaid and those guys. Came a bit short again up in the playoffs, but maybe that's the question again here for the Buffalo Bills, or do they even – you know, go on defensive side of the ball. What do you think, Roderick, here?
Yeah, no, I think there's a couple of spots. Again, the way the wide receiver, there's not another wide receiver that I like here at the end of the first round. Again, and you're not going to go tight end. Again, running back would make some sense, but they have really shown that they're not going to roll with a high running back. Again, Cook's been good. More often than not, again, I think they could still use another RB1 in tandem with him. I'm going to look down in the trenches, though. I'm going to go. There's still some really good D linemen, and then I'm actually going to think the teams that that the Bills keep losing to in the playoffs beat them in the really crunch times, and there's always a tight end. I'm going to go with the South Carolina safety, Nick Emanwori from South Carolina, a guy that is going to answer questions in that defense for the head coach, defensive play caller. Again, he's going to be a Kelsey guy. He's going to be a coverage guy in any of these games. Answer a lot of questions, move around. You think about some of those guys that Coach McDermott has had in his other stops that have plugged holes, multiple needs. I think Nick is that guy. He has to be a guy that, you know, his role is going to change a little bit from week to week. I think it sounds like he's got that kind of mental aspect to him, and again, he's going to be asked to do a lot. This is kind of that, from a few years ago, they had the Virginia Tech kid that didn't quite ever fill out in this role. So again, I think they go with a player like Nick and just fill a need there on the defense for Coach McDermott.
Joe, what do you think? Defense? You like it?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I love it. It makes a lot of sense. You know, it's one of these things where like you can't go wrong with the Bills on defense here.
And that's the thing too, is like when you did start to see injuries in the playoffs too, that's where they had issues and they were a little weak. So I mean, fill that void too and help it out. Why not? That'll work out well.
And real quick, you know, you bring up Nick Emanwori as the pick here. I'm a huge fan of him. I think the guy is just, he's got tremendous size. You can't teach size for one. Two, he's blazing fast for his size. Guy's a great hitter. Can tackle well. What I was actually, this is one of the players that I was actually going to ask you about, like as we got to the end of this draft, and you've already answered it now by picking him and talking a little bit about him. So that was cool.
All right, so here we go. We got the last two picks. We got the Kansas City Chiefs. Joe, you are on the clock.
Oh God, do I really have your to rival pick for this team?
Be honest, Joe.
Yeah, honestly, I hate them. Yes. But anyway, I'm gonna be unbiased in this, and that's, you know, what I do here. So the Chiefs, what's the one biggest weakness besides receiver that is still evaded them?
Tackle.
Mm-hmm. Offensive tackle. Mm-hmm. They could look at wide receiver depending on if a guy happens to slide to them and maybe they're like, oh man, this is too good to pass up. Maybe we take him. You know, Jaden Higgins is here too, so that could be an intriguing pick as well. A guy with size, speed, all those attributes that you like at the next level. But I say they have to, they just absolutely have to protect Patrick Mahomes. They have to, offensive line at wherever it may be, because you look at that, you know, now that left tackle's been a hole, even right tackle with Juwan Taylor. I'm sorry, Juwan Taylor's not the guy, and they could use it on both bookends. They could even use interior if they wanted to upgrade.
David,
there.
It's so, almost you think like he's got blackmail on all the referees or something, like, right? It's like, what, he gets away with more crap still. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Right. I mean, also, you know, you think about, you know, the amount of money that they gave, you know, Smith now to stay in Kansas City. You want to kind of reduce that money count at that offensive line position. So I'm going to go with offensive tackle from Oregon, Josh Connerly Jr., to lock down at least one of those spots.
All right, Roderick, offensive line, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a good spot. I think there's still some really good defensive linemen on the board here. And again, where you ultimately fall with Connerly, again, a little bit inconsistent on the film. There's, again, obviously the pass game stuff is better than the run game stuff, which, again, I think Andy Reid will be happy with that. Wouldn't be surprised at all if this is the pick here. Again, I would have been thinking, again, interior D-line, again, add to that group as well. But, again, I think it's not a bad pick here. And, again, you're Kansas City. You're probably going to make an unconventional pick. I know a lot of people think
right.
That here, and I think there are some good ones. Travion Henderson could make some sense here, but again, if you want to protect your asset, then go ahead and go get that offensive lineman.
All right, here we go with the last pick now of the 2025 Blindside Blitz mock draft, our first ever, our inaugural draft. So, and I think we did it pretty good. We're at like an hour and 45 minutes, so we're good. So this has been a hell of a lot of fun here. So here we go.
Yeah,
Philadelphia Eagles. What are they going to do besides just get better and make me upset? And Roderick's going to help them do it right here too as well.
I am going to help them do it because, again, they're a good team, and, you know, they just keep going back to the well, right, and drafting in the trenches.
Right.
And they can't go to the defensive side, right? Again, they'd be drafting a guy that's going to barely see the field with some of those guys they have. Mm-hmm. This is a team that really – on the offensive side, amazingly, really kind of only lost one piece, right? Mekhi Becton at right guard. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with a player that elevated himself on the way to a national championship this year. Again, Ohio State loses not just their number one offensive tackle that's already gotten drafted. They lose their backup. Their third tackle looks incompetent out there. So Donovan Jackson slides from guard to tackle and elevates his game. And again, this was like a third round guard for me coming into the year, and even about through halfway the year. He's, again, yeah, this is a third round. This is a guy that can play guard in the NFL. He's going to look like the group, and then took his game to another level. You stick him now at right guard with the rest of that group and say, like, hey, yeah, keep it at this level or you're not going to be here long. Donovan Jackson becomes a really nice, easy pick for the Eagles. He is, again, a potential tackle. He can kick out there. He's shown it on film. Again, you lock down the inside of that offensive line. You don't miss a beat for that offense. And Donovan Jackson, Ohio State's my pick here. And the Eagles just, you know, keep on winning in the trenches.
Yeah, the Eagles just
fly. Eagles fly.
This is why Howie Roseman always wins the draft, because he doesn't reach for anything. He lets the draft fall to him. He's like so like calm. It's amazing to me that no matter the draft for Howie Roseman, he just sits there and waits. And then when it becomes their pick, they're like, oh, well, we had this guy pretty high, so we just get to take him now and roll with it. And everyone's like, oh, my God, how did he do this again? I was like, he's just patient. He just waits for the draft to come to him, and it does every year.
Right, and I think when you have continued success, that only makes it easier. Because, again, you have success in the draft. You grab all these great players. Then you have them in depth on your team. It makes the other pieces not as hard. You're like, oh, I can fill this little spot, and that even makes us better here. I mean, it's not like some teams where they're just god-awful and they're looking for somebody. Like, yeah, this is a bright spot. And then a couple of years later, they have to trade that asset away just because they're still not good. You know, they didn't do anything to help out the whole team.
It's a great pick too. Like for Donovan Jackson, this is something that Roderick mentioned, how he just kind of, after him having to slide out to tackle and performing extremely well at that position, was a guard and then just kicked out. Was like, yeah, I got this. you know, it just seemed seamless. Like, it was crazy how well and how much he executed, at Ohio State. It was – that definitely boosted his stock, and it might even have boosted his stock higher than even this pick. You know, it's not crazy to think that maybe a team that is looking for that scheme versatility, guard slash tackle, maybe they view him even higher than most, and maybe he ends up being picked even higher than where the Eagles are right now in this mock draft. So
yeah.
That's what makes this is fun. I can't wait for the draft as it's approaching. For all the conversations that we've just had, all the picks that we've made, I always learn a lot from Roderick every time he comes on, because seeing how he sees things, you know, versus what we're hearing outside.
It's better when you get experience. Like, we kind of see what we see, and we can only go so far. When you talk to somebody that's been in the room and talking to the players and whatever, it's been around there. It's dumb if you don't listen to somebody like that. You know what I mean? If you don't try and grab that information from somebody that's been there, you know what I mean? So that's why I love it.
And for anybody that has stayed with us for an hour and 45 minutes, credit to you. You know, well done. And again, we sit here and we are always in the GM's name, right? The GMs get the credit. Howie Roseman's, getting credit. And that's where the credit goes. Obviously, we understand that. But the unique thing about the Eagles is Howie is not an evaluator first. He has put together an unbelievable staff of scouts in every – all 32 teams have good scouts on their staffs. Some GMs do a better job organizing, listening. Some owners do a better job keeping their hands out of the pie. Some head coaches let scout. And again, that is always one of the things that I look at with some of these teams is, hey, know who's making the pick. Is it going to be Sean McVay or Les Snead? Is it going to be Howie Roseman or Nick Sirianni? And that is, a lot of times going to tell you that sustained success by the really, really good scouting staffs, because there are some really, really good ones out there.
All right, Roderick, in case people have been living under a rock, though, too, why don't you tell everybody out there about your website, what you do, actually, when you talk about scouting?
Yeah, I am a full-time scouting consultant. I work with agencies, players, do a little bit of everything for draft. Amazingly, I have watched more 2026 draft film in the last month than I have watched 2025 draft. That is where I am at. My website's rsafootball.com. I do a little bit of everything there. Make sure you check out my weekly podcast as well, Scouting the League. We are going live tomorrow at noon Eastern with Eric Edholm of NFL.com. We're going to talk 2025 NFL draft. It's going to be a fun live conversation. So check it out there. We are at Scouting the League. Again, I'm at RightStepADV on Twitter. I'll put my thoughts out there. It was a busy day tweeting for me. I don't always get busy on there, but today I had a few things to say. So check that out.
Excellent.
Definitely.
I can attest to this because I check out Scouting the League.
It is
an amazing program. If you want to check out something that is very informative and knowledge based, these are guys that have been there, done that. They are on the ins and outs of the NFL. They know scouting. They know every level. And you can really learn a lot from them. Like, I already have, and I've only watched a few episodes so far.
Yeah, I'm going to check out the podcast. That's awesome.
It is awesome.
We had that, so I'm going to check it out. Roderick, it's been a great time. We're going to go over the draft that we just did, and we'll back over it again. It was kind of a blur to me. But, hey, if this draft, if this finds a way into some kind of betting thing and we can get some money, man, we'll hook back up with you, let you know. You know, see if we actually hit on this one. So
sounds good to me.
Yeah, there you go. So thank you so much, Roderick. It's been a pleasure.
Always.
And hope to have you during the season or pretty soon again. We can't wait.
Thanks, man.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys.
All right, guys. Joe, it's been a pleasure here again. Good to have you in the studio again with
once again
with us. Oh my goodness, it's different, right? It's been a while.
Yeah.
Next week, we can get into the draft. It's the draft week, Joe. We're going to get right into it. Who knows what we'll talk about next week. But we had a lot of fun doing our first over inaugural mock draft. So it was crazy to do it live, but we did it. We pulled it off. in a minute 45 or an hour 45. So
minute 45 would have been enough.
Really quick. We're not talking about.
I don't even know if we could speak that fast. That's crazy.
All right, so there you go. We had a lot of fun, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. Make sure you guys also check out all the podcasts here for Grumblings Media. You can find it wherever you go to see or get your podcast: Apple, Google, Spotify, Pandora, and then also go to YouTube. Just search up the handle Grumblings Media, and you can find us there.
Blind really
Blitz and a bunch of other great podcasts.
Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube for Grumblings Media. We are over 8,000 subscribers and climbing. We need you guys to hop on. Help us out here. We keep growing and growing and growing. You guys got to be a part of it. Become part of the Blitz Nation. You can also check out other awesome, you know, podcasts like ours that are over there. We got our basketball boys that are over there. If you're into basketball, they do a really good job. They dive right into it, really in depth, informative. So they do a good job over there. Make sure you check them out.
All right, that's it for us, and we'll see you guys in the next.